Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? That's what Jesus said earlier in his Sermon on the Mount. And then how reassuring, how encouraging are the words we hear from today's gospel. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet none of them will fall to the ground outside the Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I love how Eugene Peterson reminds us of Jesus' words. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. You can count far more to God than birds, and you count far more to God than birds. What's the price of a tiny bird? Some loose change, right? And God cares what happens to it even more than you do. God pays even greater attention to you down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated. You're worth more than a million sparrows. Johnny Erickson Tada, that wonderful writer who praises God even though years ago a diving accident left her a quadriplegic, writes, I glanced at the bird feeder and I felt a smile on my face. I could understand Jesus noticing if an eagle or a falcon or a hawk fell to the ground. Those are the important birds God created, the kind worth attending to. But a scrappy sparrow? They're a dime a dozen, Jesus said himself. Yet from thousands of bird species, the Lord chose the most insignificant, least noticed, scruffiest bird of all. Scrawny little thing that even dedicated bird watchers ignore. Johnny says, that thought alone calmed my fears. I felt significant. I felt noticed. Because if God takes note of each humble sparrow, who they are, where they are, and what they're doing, I know God keeps an eye on me. Sparrows. Cheap and common. It would make better sense if Jesus had said, God knows when every eagle falls because eagles are such majestic birds. But Jesus was making a point that God cares for the most common, the unnoticed and overlooked, the ignored and the unseen, even a sparrow. Naturalists tell us that there are approximately 35,000 bald eagles in the United States and Canada. But who cares enough to count the sparrows? Only God. It piques my attention when I realize that God sees a sparrow and cares when it falls. I believe that Jesus is saying to us that whatever trial we may be going through, God is aware, God knows, and God cares. The master says, what's the price of a couple of sparrows, some loose change, right? And God cares what happens to the sparrows, and God pays much greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be so intimidated by all this. You're worth more than a million sparrows. I think there's a lot of us who spend an inordinate amount of time being afraid and anxious and fearful. Or We may not be conscious that it's fear, but what's driving us, we simply call worry or anxiety or just being concerned. But at the heart of it all, it's fear. Well, we've been all those things lots of times. It reminds me of a story about a very nervous airline passenger years ago who began pacing the terminal when bad weather delayed his flight. And during his walk, he ran across one of those machines you used to find in airports selling flight insurance. This machine offered $100,000 in the event of an untimely death aboard his flight. The policy was only $3. And the man looked out the window at the threatening clouds and thought of his family at home, and for that price, it was foolish not to buy such a policy, so he did. And then he looked for a place to eat, and he settled for his favorite food, Chinese. It was a relaxing meal until he opened his fortune cookie. It read, "Your recent investment will pay big dividends." What is it that makes us worry so much about things that are probably never going to happen? And who can free us from the baggage of fear? Jesus wants to set us free from all of our fears, whatever they may be. He does it in the scripture that assures us that we have a loving Father who is always with us, always mindful of our needs, always working for our good, and always willing to grant us God's peace and God's joy. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. We sing that song in church sometimes. God has such an intimate knowledge of us that God knows every hair on our heads. You think you're alone as you face your problems each day. But there is one who is even closer to us than the very breath in our lungs. God knows our needs and God cares about us. We are God's children, and just as we would never abandon our children, so God would never abandon us. That awareness of the unconditional love of God should give us an enormous sense of peace and joy as we live our lives as if we had not a care in the world. Thinking about sparrows this week and this morning made me think about an old baseball story. Some baseball fans may remember Hall of Famer Casey Stengel, the longtime successful manager of the New York Yankees. And he ended his baseball career as the manager of the lowly New York Mets. That was an expansion team and at times painfully inept, but they won over the hearts of New York as well as across the nation, partly due to the unique character of their veteran manager, Casey Stengel. As a young man, Casey spent 6 seasons as an outfielder with the Brooklyn Dodgers, and then he was traded to Pittsburgh. And when he played his first game back at the Dodgers' Ebbets Field, the fans booed his first trip to the plate as a Pittsburgh Pirate. And rather than being resentful, Stengel decided to win back his former fans. And seeing a sparrow caught in the outfield fence, he rescued the bird and gently tucked the sparrow underneath his cap. And when the crowd reacted with boos and catcalls during his second at bat, Stengel called time and he stepped back and he gave this huge sweeping bow to the crowd and he took off his cap and allowed the sparrow to escape. The jeers turned to cheers and Stengel became an instant favorite once again on the Dodgers field. Casey Stengel was wasn't intimidated by the boos and the catcalls. On the inside, he was a free man. Wouldn't you love that kind of freedom? You see, the ultimate freedom in life comes from trusting your life to God. The message of the gospel is that we need fear neither life nor death. We need fear neither tomorrow nor today. We can live life, we can live faith-filled lives, lives reinforced and supported by our faith in God's love for us and God's ever-abiding presence with us. There's a story about a young woman who was a truck stop chaplain. And some of you know her too. She was an associate pastor here at First Church back in the late 70s. She's retired now from the divinity school at Drew. She's truly one of the best, most moving preachers I've ever heard. But years ago, when she was working her way through school, she was a truck stop chaplain. And she'd wear a black suit with a clergy collar and a plastic badge that said truck stop chaplain, so there'd be no mistake about why she was there. So one night at the truck stop, she noticed a man sitting at the counter, just sitting there, stirring his coffee. And she sat down beside him, but he didn't even turn his head. He just kept stirring. And as he did, she noticed a tattoo on his wrist. It looked like a braided bracelet. So to break the ice, she said, "Did it hurt?" And the trucker, without even turning his head, said, "Nah. But this one," and he pushes up his sleeve, "this one hurt like," and he looked at her and he noticed her clergy collar and he caught himself before he said something that might embarrass himself. "But this one hurt a lot. It covered most of his arm. And his skin was still swollen round and red around the edges. And, well, it wasn't the kind of thing a truck stop chaplain thought a trucker would have tattooed on his arm. It was flowers," she said. "Flowers with a bird of some kind with its wings stretched out." So she asked him what kind of bird it was. "I don't know. It's some kind of sparrow." And just out of the blue, Heather Murray Elkins, the truck stop chaplain, says, "Why did you get it?" And he told her that he got it to cover up an old tattoo. There was a woman's name under the bird's wings. And Heather could barely make out the letter S. "I dated a girl named Sue," he said, "but I didn't marry Sue. My wife hated my arm for 18 years, so I fixed it." And she said, "Why now? Why fix it after 18 years? And he started stirring his coffee again, and that's when he told her his story. He came from a family of steel workers. He was doing really well, working hard to keep up with his job and his family. And then there was a strike that lasted 2 years, and it ended with the plant being shut down and closed for good. His wife took a night job at Walmart, and he stayed with the kids, but things were really tight. So he found the only job he could find, and then one of the kids got really sick and ended up in the hospital, and there was no insurance. Worry, stress, anxiety, fear, it was all there. And it was building day by day after day. He had seen a brochure somewhere advertising for 18-wheelers and owner-operators. And the deal was, buy your own truck, complete with driver's training. All he needed was $10,000 for a down payment. And Heather said, "That's more than a dollar and a dream. How did you manage? And he said, you know, it is a lot of money, but I got this feeling. And then he lowered his voice and he kind of looked up. I got this feeling that you know who sent it. And she said, God? You mean you thought God sent you the money? And he said, yeah, him. Well, what did you do? And he told her that he made a list of 10 people, friends, who could each lend him $1,000. He'd sign notes, buy the truck, get on the road, and pay them back in 6 months. She asked him, how did it go? He said, not good. I'd have quit if I hadn't thought, and he looked up again. You know who wanted me to do it. I got to number 9, and they all turned me down. And then the last guy gave me every penny I needed, the whole thing. Heather said, that's a miracle. And silently, he started stirring his coffee again. She said, why isn't that a miracle? And he said he took the money to the bank, filled out the application for the loan, handed it to the man at the desk with the $10,000, and the bank turned him down. His credit rating was terrible. And he said, I tried to explain. I told them I wanted to work, that I'm a hard worker, and if they loan me the money, I'll be able to work and my credit will be good again. But they just kept saying, they're sorry. We can't help you. And he said, so I go home and I wake my wife and I say, the trucker started stumbling with his words. I say, well, you know. Heather said, you say a prayer? Yeah, one of those. What did you say? Well, I said, if it's supposed to happen, could it happen? Please? And then he said, things got really crazy. In about 20 minutes, my neighbor knocked on the door, said the bank called and I'm supposed to get back to them right away. So I went over and called the bank and they told me to come back and bring the money. I can have the loan and buy my truck. And Heather said, that is a miracle. But the trucker became silent again. Wasn't that a miracle? And he said, I don't know. I make good money now. The house is paid off. The loan is paid off. I can give my kids what they need to look good. My wife doesn't have to work at Walmart anymore. But now I'm on the road 25 days out of every month. And I get home and the kids don't know me anymore. And I'm so tired I can't do anything. And my wife thinks I don't love her anymore. And I don't know what she thinks of me. So I saw this tattoo place this morning and pulled over. And I told the guy to fix this arm, whatever it takes. And now I'm going home to show her. Because I don't want it to be over. And the trucker's voice got pretty shaky, and he begins to break, and he says, do you think, and he looks up, do you think you know who cares about stuff like this? And all of a sudden, they call his number over the speaker. He's fueled up, and he's got to get moving, so Heather silently prays, God, please give me the right words to say. And she says, do you have a Bible? He said, no. Would you like one? It's free. And he hesitates, but then he takes the Bible, and Heather says, take the Bible, and when you get where you're going, open it up and look for the name Matthew. Matthew. Like a man's name? Yes. Read Matthew. It has the answer to your question, what God cares about. And he said, what's the answer? And Heather, the truck stop chaplain, said, You'll have to find it. Well, how will I know when I find it? And Heather said, you'll know when you find the word sparrow. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to God than birds. Hear those words. Listen to those words carefully. Jesus is talking to you. Jesus is talking to me. Recognize and rejoice in your dependence upon the loving God. Be grateful to God that the one who loves you the most, your heavenly Father, richly cares for you. And when the strain of life feels like it's getting you down, or a worrisome thought sneaks up on you, interrupt those feelings and thoughts by remembering that you have been saved by God's grace. Turn your head and your best thoughts towards God, and as one so deeply loved by the living God, trust and have faith in the deep and wide love of the eternal and living God, because you count for so much. Amen.